الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. Today is the 6th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1434, which corresponds to the 18th of January 2013. And we are in the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And we were dealing with ayah number 35 last week, correct? We dealt with the issue of wasila.
We finished 35.
We are 36 and 37, right?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين كفروا لو أن لهم ما في الأرض جميعا ومثله معه ليفتدوا به من عذاب يوم القيامة ما تقبل منهم ولهم عذاب أليم يريدون أن يخرجوا من النار وما هم بخارجين منها ولهم عذاب مقيم. The ayah says, it's pretty severe. Indeed, those who disbelieve, if they should have all that is in the earth, and like it and the like of it, with it by which to ransom themselves from the punishment of the day of resurrection, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted from them, and for them is a painful punishment. They will wish to get out of the fire, but never are they to emerge therefrom. And for them is an enduring punishment. So the Shaykh rahimahullah said, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى عَنْ شَنَاعَةِ حَالِ الْكَافِرِينَ بِاللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَآلِهِمِ الْفَضِيعِ. Allah Azza wa Jal informs us about the abhorrence of the situation of the disbelievers in Allah, that is, on the day of resurrection, and the horrendous abode they will wind up in. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَوْ افْتَدُوا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَوْ افْتَدَوْا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ بِمِلْءِ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا. Even if they were to get the equivalent of this earth in gold, to ransom themselves. وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, and then the equivalent of that times two, in other words, مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا أَفَدْ, nor would it be accepted, neither would it be accepted nor will it benefit. لِأَنَّ مَحَلَّ الْإِفْتِدَاءِ قَدْ فَاتْ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Because the area, the time for that kind of benefit has already passed. It was in the dunya. Now in the Qiyamah, it's too late. And the only thing which is left is the severe, painful punishment. إِلَّا الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ الْمُوجِعُ الدَّائِمُ. The painful, the permanent. الَّذِي لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا بَلْ هُمْ مَاكِثُونَ فِيهِ سَرْمَدًا. They will never ever get out of it, and they will remain therein eternally. The Shaykh didn't quote it, but there's a hadith Qudsi. Yeah, I'm going to get y'all. Just wait. There's a hadith Qudsi wherein Allah Azza wa Jal will say to the slave on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, if you had the equivalent of this earth in gold, would you pay that as a ransom to save yourself from the punishment today? And then the slave will say, yes. Allah will say, what was required of you was much simpler than that. That you worship me and you associate none in worship with me. That would have been equivalent to that whole earth of gold. That's all that it is. Tawheed. Establishing Tawheed. Then that is it with these two ayat. We jump into ayah 38, which reads, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقَطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And obviously, let's just go back to the asl. And as for the thief, the thief, the male and the female, amputate their hands in recompense for what they committed as a deterrent punishment from Allah. And Allah is exalted in might and wise. There's a story that I've heard from one of the shuyukh in his dars in regards to this particular ayah. Basically, they're speaking about some king or some ruler someplace. And he had, there was some Arab. This Arab wasn't a Muslim. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was an eloquent person. And so the person reading the ayah read this ayah as it is, and then he said at the end, Wallahu ghafurun rahim. So the man said, no, this cannot be. This cannot be. So how come this cannot be? You don't know the Quran. The person who was reading said, I memorize the Quran. Do you even know the Quran? He said, no, I don't, but this cannot be. How? So he said, the ayah is speaking about chopping off the hand of the thief. And that this is nakalan min Allah. This is like a means of punishment from Allah. And then the ayah is going to end with ghafoor rahim. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't register. So the guy argued with him and they had some sort of bet, something. They went back and they found out that the ayah ends with Wallahu azizun hakeem. Now the next ayah deals with ghafoor rahim because of the context of the ayah. So that's how they understood. They related to what the Quran was saying. Just give me a second. Wallahu al-azim. No, these are my greatest enemies, man. At home. The Sheikh said, As-sariqu huwa man akhadha mala ghayrihi al-muhtaram khifyatan bighayri rida. It's a very important definition. Huh? It's a very important definition because if we don't know this definition, then we may chop off too many hands. Huh? And we have to be careful. Because there was that Shia propaganda, or you know something about the non-Muslims spread it, or Christians actually. I've received it from Christians a few times, where they show you some, you know, 8-year-old boy, his hand is being placed under a truck, and a truck is on the verge of running it over, and they have a saying, you know, in Islam, if you steal, they will chop off your hand, and look at blah, 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 trying to use this against Islam. That this is what Islam would do to a young boy who stole. And the question remains, is that some Muslims themselves don't know that this is impossible. An 8-year-old is غير مكلف. He's not reliable. How are you going to chop off his hand? Plus, you chop off his hand with a truck? You run him over with a truck? Is this the actual way of executing this particular punishment? لا. So, the Sheikh said, the thief is the one who takes someone else's wealth. And that wealth itself is not sacred, not protected. And he does it secretly without his permission. And the scholars go further. If you leave a watch on the desk here, and someone steals it, his hand won't be chopped off. Why? Because you left it out there. For public viewing. If you had it in the drawer, and then he went into the drawer and he broke the lock and he took it out, his hand would be chopped off. Why? Because he went that extra mile to steal. Maybe before he didn't want to steal. He didn't have a niyyah to steal. He just saw a watch and the shaitan tricked him. Still a sin, but he was, you know, he couldn't, and he just got it. He got tempted. But if you had it hidden, then he's really going out of his way to steal. You see the difference? وَهُوَ مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ الْمُوجِبَةِ لِتَرَتُّبِ الْعُقُوبَةِ الْشَنِيعَ. And it's among the major sins which necessitate this horrible punishment. وَهِيَ قَطْعُ الْيَدُ الْيُمْنَى. And it is chopping off the right hand. كما هو في قراءة بعض الصحابة, as it is in the recitation in some of the صحابة. وحد اليد عند الإطلاق من الكوع. Now, generally, linguistically, when you say yed, it can go all the way back to your elbow. When you say yed, it's all this area until the elbow. فَإِذَا سَرَقَ قُطِعَتْ يَدُهُ مِنَ الْكُوعِ وَحُسِمَتْ فِي الزَّيْتِ لِتَسْتَنِدُ الْعُرُوقِ فَيَقِفُ الدَّمِ. So if he steals, his hand will be chopped off from the elbow, and then it will be dipped in oil in order for the wound to you know, stop bleeding, and the veins to stop from bleeding. ولكن السنة قيدت عموم هذه الآية من عدة أوجه. However, the Sunnah has, now he's saying first linguistically. Time out, huh? Just in case some of you looking funny already. ولكن السنة قيدت عموم هذه الآية من عدة أوجه. The Sunnah has restricted this general understanding from a number of angles. منها الحرز فإنه لا بد أن تكون السرقة من حرز وحرز كل مال ما يحفظ به عادة. That the money has to be stolen from something that is put away, we said. Something that is protected or in a safe. فلو سرق من غير حرز فلا قطع عليه. Like I explained earlier, if he steals from something that is not hidden, then there's no chopping off of the hand. ومنها أنه لا بد أن يكون المسروق نصابا. That which is stolen has to have reached the nisab. The nisab. Now, nisab in zakah is different than the nisab of the sariqa. They have a specific one for the sariqa per the hadith. وهو ربع دينار أو ثلاثة دراهم أو ما يساوي أحدهما. وعليكم السلام. Which is basically a quarter of a dinar or 3 dirhams, or what is equivalent to that. فلو سرق دون ذلك فلا قطع عليه. If he steals what is lesser than that, then there's no chopping off for him. ولعل هذا يؤخذ من لفظ السرقة ومعناها. Perhaps all this is deduced from the meaning of the word سرقة, from the word itself and its meaning. فإن لفظ السرقة أخذ شيء على وجه لا يمكن الاحتراز منه. Sarika has taken something in a manner where you cannot protect that thing which is being stolen. وذلك أن يكون المال محرزا فإن فلو كان غير محرز لم يكن ذلك سرقة شرعية. نعم. ومن الحكمة أيضا أن لا تقطع اليد في الشيء النزر التافه. Also from their wisdom is that the hand is not chopped off if that which is stolen is insignificant, something just worthless. فلما كان لابد من التقدير كان التقدير الشرعي مخصصا بالكتاب. So then there must be some evaluation to that item that is stolen. And so if this is the case, then it has to be according to the book. والحكمة في قطع اليد في السرقة أن ذلك حفظ للأموال واحتياط لها وليقطع العضو الذي صدرت منه الجناية. And perhaps also some of the wisdoms behind chopping off the hand of the thief is that it is means of protecting the wealth of people, because the thief will think many times before he loses his hand or his arm in this case almost. Huh? And also a means of protecting it, and so that the limb which actually committed the crime will pay for the punishment, because you steal with your hands usually. فإن عاد السارق قطعت رجله اليسرى. And if the thief does it again, then they will chop off his left hand, left leg. So no right and left missing. فإن عاد فقيل تقطع يده اليسرى ثم رجله اليمنى وقيل يحبس حتى يموت. And if he does it again, then some of the scholars say then they will chop off his left hand and then his right leg. And some of them say he should be imprisoned until he dies. He should be imprisoned until he dies. What is the lesson that we learn? We never want to be thieves. Huh? That doesn't sound nice at all. Neither the first option nor the second option. So, huh? The amount they mentioned in dinar and dirham, I don't know what the equivalent of that today in riyals, honestly.
Now they are executing depending on the amount of the value, I mean.
Okay.
Finger. Depend on the finger and then
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. I don't know. Jaza'an bima kasaba. Ay dhalika al-qat'u jaza'an lis-sariqi bima saraqahu min amwal an-nas. This is a recompense. Jaza is recompense. This is a recompense for the thief for what he had stolen from the wealth of the people. نَكَانَ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَيْ تَنْكِيلًا وَتَرْهِيبًا لِلسَّارِكِ وَغَيْرِهِ It's a means of like deterring them and revenge from Allah Azza wa Jal for them and others. لِيَرْتَدِعَ السَّارِقُ إِذَا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهُمْ سَيُقْطَعُونَ إِذَا سَرَقُوا So that the thief will be deterred when he knows that his hand will be chopped off if he steals. Oh, it flew out. Wow, what a mosquito. نعم. Wallahu azizun hakim, and Allah is full of wisdom. Allah is the all wise, the all might, the full of might, the all wise. Ay azza wa hakama faqata'a as-sariq. Meaning Allah azza wa jal, you know, is might, mighty, and He is most wise, therefore He chopped off the hand of the thief. Then ayah 39 reads, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Now that makes sense. Then whosoever repents after his oppression and he rectifies, then verily Allah will accept his repentance and verily Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ تَابْ فَتَرَكَ الذُّنُوبُ وَأَصْلَحَ الْأَعْمَالَ وَالْعُيُوبُ So Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the one who repents and abandons sinfulness and he rectify and the person who rectifies his deeds and his shortcomings. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ Oh, ayah 40 already. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Did I hear a phone ring? You know, this is the biggest violation in this class. A phone ringing. Do you not know that Allah, that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? He punishes whom He wills and He forgives whom He wills. And Allah is ever over all things competent. The Shaykh said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَتَصَرَّفُ فِيهِمَا بِمَا شَاءَ مِنَ التَّصَارِيفِ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ وَالشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ To Allah belongs the dominions of the heavens and the earth. So He acts and He arranges in them whatever is suitable to Him of the تَصَارِيفُ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ Meaning, the matters pertaining to qadr and decree. وَالشَّرْعِيَّةِ and the legislative. Meaning Allah will say this is halal, this is haram, do this, don't do this, so on and so forth. وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ And Allah also Azza wa Jal is the one who decides in regards to forgiving and punishing. صح؟ بِحَسَبِ مَقْتَدَتُ وَحِكْمَتُ وَرَحْمَتُ وَالْوَاسِعَةِ وَمَغْفِرَتُ As per what His wisdom entails and His mercy, His vast mercy and His forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we're jumping to another topic here. Let me go back to the asl. Aywa, we did this already now. طيب. يا أيها الرسول لا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر من الذين قالوا آمنا بأفواههم ولم تؤمن قلوبهم ومن الذين هادوا سماعون للكذب سماعون لقوم آخرين لم يأتوك يحرفون الكلمة من بعد مواضعه يقولون إن أوتيتم هذا فخذوه وإن لم تؤتوه فاحذروا ومن يرد الله فتنته فلن تملك له من الله شيئا أولئك الذين لم يرد الله أن يطهر قلوبهم لهم في الدنيا خزي ولهم في الآخرة وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ This is actually one of the scariest ayat in the Quran. You will see why when we get towards the end of it, inshallah. It says, O Messenger, let them not grieve. Let them not grieve you who hasten into disbelief of those who say, we believe with their mouths, but their hearts believe not. And from among the Jews, they are avid listeners to falsehood, listening to another people who have not come to you. They distort words beyond their proper usages, saying, if you are given this, take it. But if you are not given it, then beware. But he from Allah, for whom Allah intends fitna, never will you possess power to do for him a thing against Allah. Those are the ones for whom Allah does not intend to purify their hearts. For them in this world is disgrace, and for them in the hereafter is a great punishment. So here, it reads, كَانَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ حِرْصِهِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ يَشْتَدُّ حُزْنَهُ لِمَنْ يُظْهِرُ الْإِيمَانِ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى الْكُفُرِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his extreme keenness over the creation, the other human beings, he would be extremely saddened when a group of people will display an iman, will pretend to be believers, then will return or revert back to kufr. Okay? فَأَرْشَدَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْسَى وَلَا يَحْزَنُ عَلَى أَمْثَالِ هَؤُلَى. Allah Azza wa Jalla then guided him, instructing him nor to grieve nor be sad over these people. Neither grieve nor be sad over these people. فَأَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَا فِي الْعِيرِ وَلَا فِي النَّفِيرِ. These people are neither part of the clan, nor will they go out with you when it's time to attack. إِنْ حَضَرُوا لَمْ يَنْفَعُوا. If they are present, they will benefit you not. وَإِنْ غَابُوا لَمْ يُفْقَدُوا. And if they are absent, you won't even miss them. ولهذا قال مبينا لسبب الموجب لعدم الحزن عليهم فقال من الذين قالوا آمنا بأفواههم ولم تؤمن قلوبهم. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla said. In order not to be sad over them, they only claim faith with their mouth, but their hearts have not believed. فإن الذين يؤسى ويحزن عليهم من كانوا معدودون من المؤمنين. من كان معدودا عفوا من المؤمنين. The one that you can grieve over is one who used to be considered among the believers, an actual apostate, who was a Muslim, then he left Islam. وهم المؤمنون ظاهرا وباطنا. And it is the believer. That sound, please don't make it again. It's the believers who are believers outwardly and inwardly. وحاش لله أن يرجع هؤلاء عن دينهم ويرتدوا. And we seek refuge with Allah that Allah is high and above beyond the fact that these people will ever turn away from the deen and apostate or apostatize. It's one of these complicated English words. Because we thought for the longest time that it was apostated. And even though you might find some dictionary somewhere in some island that actually acknowledges this term, most of the prevalent correct term is apostatize, not apostated. If you want to speak about something that happened in the past, Fulan apostatized, meaning he left Islam. He became an apostate, but the act of doing it is apostatized and not apostated. Kapish? Nash. Naam. أين أنا؟ لا أدري. فإن الإيمان إذا خالطت بشاشته القلوب لم يعدل به صاحبه غيره. ها ها. Now who said this statement? Let's see which one of you is doing his homework. This عبارة خالطت بشاشته القلوب. Where have we heard this before? Huh? The no. No. Iman, when it's joy. I did it. When it's joyfulness mixes with the heart. When the joyfulness of Iman mixes with the heart. Where have we heard this before? It's in a hadith. And the hadith is based on a story. This expression was actually made by a kafir. Hmm? This was made by Heraclius. Heraclius?
Yes.
Herkel. Lala. Herkel. Heraclius, when the Muslims went over, when the Prophet ﷺ sent a delegation to deliver the message to him, and they gave him the letter and they read it out, and he asked him, he said, "How can Abu Sufyan?" That was back with Abu Sufyan before he became a Muslim. He said, "I'm going to ask you some questions." And he asked him about the Prophet ﷺ, "What is his lineage amongst you? Did he lie before? Was his father a king? Who is following him? Do people revert, turn away from the religion after they entered it?" And when he gave him all the answers, then when Heraclius answered him, he said, "And I asked you whether people turn away from the religion after they embrace it. And you said no. And such is Iman. When it mixes with the heart, then the person will not leave it afterwards." And so this is the same ibarah used by Heraclius back then. And the Shaykh, you know, he brought it out from that other hadith and put it in this particular tafsir. Beautiful. La, Najashi, they recited upon him Surah Maryam, and he cried and he became Muslim. He did not ask them questions about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, like with Heraclius. I'm 100% sure about this one, Abdul Hadi. Don't think too much. If I'm not sure, I will tell you I'm not sure. This is 100%. This is Heraclius. It's a famous hadith. I'd given a lecture and I quoted the whole hadith in a lecture. So it's there, alhamdulillah. No worries, akhi. Aina ana? Ana huna. Naam. Lam ya'dil bihi sahibu ghayrah. So once your iman mixes with the heart, the person, the believer, the companion of this iman cannot possibly be satisfied with something else. You know what I'm saying? And now think of yourself right now in this condition. You're a believer. You're alhamdulillah. Insha'Allah. Does it register? Can you imagine yourself going to a church? You know? Bowing before a cross or the statue of Jesus and telling him, "Jesus, help me. You know, I need blah, blah, blah." It's like, what? It's like the last thing you... This is just like... No way. Okay? I may be a bad Muslim, I may be ta'ban, I may be I don't know what, but no way. Khalas, because Iman is there. Iman will make you understand how filthy shirk is and how far away you need to stay from it. So that's what it is. وَلَمْ يَبْغَ بِهِ بَدَلًا. And then he would not want a substitute for that Iman. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا أَيْ الْيَهُودِ سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ سَمَّعُونَ لِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ لَمْ يَأْتُوكَ أي مستجيبون ومقلدون لرؤسائهم المبني أمرهم على الكذب والضلال والغي. The Jews then, they respond and they imitate their leaders. And their leaders whose foundations are built... Their whole affairs built on lying, deviance, and corruption. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَهَؤُلَاءِ الرُّؤَسَاءِ الْمَتْبُوعُونَ لَمْ يَأْتُوكَ بَلْ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْكَ وَفَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. And those leaders among the Jews, they did not come to you. They did not come to the Prophet ﷺ accepting him. Rather, they were happy with what they had of falsehood. وَهُوَ تَحْرِيفُ الْكَلِمِ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. And it is to distort the meaning from their proper usages. And this is a quality of the who? Yes, and among the Muslims. Huh? Hypocrites. Share? Shia? Shia? But no, let's be more particular. Fine, of course, anyone who deviates, hypocrites, you know, Shia, who specifically is famous for distorting the meaning from their proper usages, distorting the words. Is it a group? Yeah, everything we did in Aqidah al-Wasitiyah evaporated with the heat of Jeddah? Huh? What? Pardon? Who's pardon? I am asking, who are the who falls under this particular category. We learn these thoroughly. We learn them thoroughly. Who?
There's some sect.
Yeah, the sect. Okay, تفضل.
Rafida.
Ma Rafida are the Shia, ya Shaykh. La. Yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. Well, okay, fine. But mainly, Mu'tazila, Jahmiya, Asha'ira, Ishfi. Who are those who misinterpret the attributes of Allah? The face doesn't mean a face, it means glory, and the hand means power, and da-da-da-da-da, these are the famous people for distorting the meaning from the proper usages. They give it a meaning that is not intended. Yes, the Shia do that, and the hypocrites do that, and the whatever else do that, but these are the people famous in regards to the names and attributes of Allah. Qadariya, Jabariya, everybody at the end of the day, but they do this less. The main issue is in the Asha'ira, who will distort the meaning of the ayah and give it a different meaning than the one Allah intends. Famous. Allah musta'an. أي جلب معان الألفاظ ما أرادها الله ولا قصدها. What does that mean? Meaning they give meanings to the terms which Allah Azza wa Jal did not want nor intend. They give it a new meaning that Allah did not intend. لإضلال الخلق ولدفع الحق. To mislead the masses and to push away the truth. هؤلاء المناقدون للدعاة إلى الضلال هؤلاء المنقادون للدعاة إلى الضلال المتبعين للمحال الذين يأتون بكل كذب لا عقول لهم ولا همم. Those followers to these callers of misguidance who are following the impossible, those who bring about every kind of lie, they have no brains nor any real conviction or determination. فَلَا تُبَالِ أَيْضًا إِذَا لَمْ يَتَّبِعُكَ. So you don't care either if they don't follow you. They're feeble-minded. Feeble-minded. لِأَنَّهُمْ فِي غَايَةِ النَّقْصِ. Because they are in the state of the epitome of deficiency. وَالنَّاقِسُ لَا يُؤْبَهُ لَهُ وَلَا يُبَالَ بِهِ. And the deficient person, no one pays attention to him, no one cares about him. يَقُولُونَ إِنْ أُوتِيتُمْ هَذَا فَخُذُوهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُؤْتَوهُ فَاحْذَرُوا. They say, if you are given this, then take it. If you're not, then be careful. أي هذا قولهم عند محاكمتهم إليك. This is what they say when they seek your judgment amongst them. لا قصد لهم إلا اتباع الهوى. They have no intent except to follow their desires. يقول بعضهم لبعض إن حكم لكم محمد بهذا الحكم الذي وافق هواكم فاقبلوا حكمه. They say to each other before they go to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to judge between them, if he judges with something that agrees with your will, with your preferences, accept his ruling. Huh? وَإِذَا لَمْ يَحْكُمْ لَكُمْ بِهِ فَاحْذَرُوا أَن تَتَتَابَعُوا أَن تُتَابِعُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. However, if he does not rule amongst you with that which you prefer, then be careful of following him. عجيب. أي نعم. وَهَذَا فِتْنَةٌ وَاتِّبَاعُ مَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ. This is a fitna and means of following what the self desires. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ فِتْنَتَهُ فَلَنْ تَمْلِكَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. This is the beginning of the scary part of the ayah. And whosoever Allah intends to try, then you have nothing against Allah regarding that person. كَقَوْلِ تَعَالَى إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is equal to the statement of Allah, you do not guide those whom you love, however Allah guides whomever He wills. أولئك الذين لم يرد الله أن يطهر قلوبهم أي فذلك صدر منهم فلذلك صدر منهم ما صدر. It is those whom Allah did not intend Allah does not intend or did not intend to purify their hearts. And this is what we have to be careful about. Yani, if one of us reaches the condition wherein Allah does not want to purify his heart. And if Allah doesn't want to purify one of our hearts, we're dead. Khalas. No one can come and do anything about it. No sheikh, no maulana, no relative, no neighbor, no nobody. So it's all in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, we have to be very careful. Allah musta'an. فدل ذلك على أن من كان مقصوده بالتحاكم إلى الحكم الشرعي اتباع هوى وإنه إن حكم له رضي إن حكم له رضي وإن لم يحكم له سخط فإن ذلك من عدم طهارة قلبه. The lesson we learn is if someone's intent behind referring matters to the religious sector, to the religious ruling, that if it pleases him, if it pleases him, he will follow. And if it does not please him, he will become upset. Or if it doesn't agree with him, he will become upset. This is an indication that the heart is impure. That the heart is impure. كما أن من حاكم وتحاكم إلى الشرع ورضي به ووافق هواه أو خالفه فإنه من طهارة القلب. Same way, in the same manner, the one who refers the matters to the deen, and he's pleased with it, whether it agrees with his preferences or it disagrees with his preferences, is an indication that the heart is pure. وَدَلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ طَهَارَةَ الْقَلْبِ سَبَبٌ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And that also indicates that the purity of the heart is the reason behind every form of goodness. وَهُوَ أَكْبَرُ دَاعٍ إِلَى قَوْلٍ رَشِيدٍ وَعَمَلٍ سَدِيدٍ. And it's the biggest cause or reason or caller to the every sound, rational statement and every correct and straightforward deed. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ أَيْ فَضِيحَةٌ وَعَارٌ. Those who Allah did not intend to purify their hearts, they will have in this dunya humiliation and embarrassment. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ هُوَ النَّارُ وَسَخَطُ الْجَبَّارِ. And in the life to come, they will have a severe or a great punishment, which is the hellfire and the wrath of the irresistible, which is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude. Before we jump into the other quality of the Yahud, which is سَمَّعُونَ لِكَذِبْ أَكَّلُونَ لِلسُّحْتِ, and what that means and everything pertaining to that, and some of the issues regarding the Torah and the wickedness of the Jews. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.